Just to recap for our listeners, about an hour and a half ago, an airplane flew into one of the World Trade Center towers in Lower Manhattan in New York City. About 15 or 20 minutes later, a second plane hit the other tower of the World Trade Center. Moments later, there was a report of a plane crash at the Pentagon. There are reports that these planes were hijacked. Therefore, the Federal Aviation Administration has grounded air traffic in the United States. President Bush was not in the White House. He was in Florida this morning, promoting his education program. He is on his way back to Washington at this hour. There have been other ramifications. Trading at the New York Stock Exchange has been suspended. The Pentagon, the Capitol Building, the White House, the State Department, and the Treasury Building have all been evacuated as a precaution against more of what President Bush this morning characterized as an apparent terrorist attack. Tom Gelton is at the Pentagon. Tom?
Yeah, Bob, not exactly at the Pentagon, but certainly as close to the Pentagon as just about anybody can get right now, certainly a normal person like myself. I walked about three blocks west of the Pentagon. My cell phone was not working. As you can imagine, a lot of people are on their cell phones. I stopped at the first house with an open door that I could find, and a man, cooperative, nice man by the name of Brian Perdue was here watching television. Bob, let me put him on the phone if you don't mind for a minute, because he can talk about what he heard in the moments before the plane crash.
Mr. Perdue?
Hello.
Hi, Bob Edwards, NPR.
Yes.
Tell us what you saw.
Well, I didn't see anything. I was upstairs watching TV about the bombing or the plane crash in the World Trade Center, and all of a sudden I heard a low-flying plane, and there's no way it could have been a single-engine plane. There's no way it could have been a single-engine plane. And I knew it crashed because I heard the noise, and the window shook in my house. And, I'm like, I've got to get out of here. I mean, I'm sure, like, you know, everyone else close by is you know, it's around. And I'm like, I mean, it's really scary, really scary.
So you're thinking it's a larger plane?
I definitely think it was a larger plane. I mean, the noise and the way it flew by, or it sounded like it landed in the backyard. And I guess literally it did. I mean, I'm right. My backyard is pretty much at the Pentagon. So, I mean, it was bigger than a single engine plane. I'm almost positive of that.
But you couldn't tell if it was a commercial airliner or not.
No, sir, I could not.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
NPR's Jackie Lydon is in Brooklyn. Jackie?
Well, I think the most critical thing right now for New Yorkers is to hear from the mayor. And the mayor, ironically, Rudolph Giuliani, had built a command and control center for disasters of this kind in Tower 7 of the World Trade Center. It, of course, has been completely cut off. Thus, there's a great deal of frustration. There's been no word of casualties, no reports yet by the city. Obviously, they're having difficulty getting the word out. I'm listening to local radio, our local member station, WMYC, as I listen to you. They are not sure how much longer they'll be able to be on the air. Their transmitter is down there. So we have a kind of communications crisis enveloping us here, along with what we can see. And as you know, you're hearing mostly eyewitness accounts, which have just the tiniest bit of information. I can see the World Trade Center was part of my skyline, and where that tower had been is the top of the tower, the North Tower, is just a cloud of white dust now. And with New York's command and control center being in there, you can just imagine the kind of difficulties that are going on here.
Was it the North Tower that collapsed? I'm looking at a wire copy. It says it was the Southern Tower that collapsed.
Perhaps it was the Southern Tower.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think you're right.
Yeah. One of the planes, I'm also reading, one of the planes that crashed into the Trade Center was American Airlines Flight 11, hijacked after takeoff from Boston en route to Los Angeles, according to officials of American Airlines. Both towers now have collapsed. Jackie, can you see that?
Yeah, okay. Well, I can't. What I see are these clouds of smoke. Okay, well, that would make sense. I mean, a horrible kind of sense, because I had thought for sure the North Tower, and if it's both towers, then that's what you're reading. Bob, all you can see, it's like looking at the top for me, for a lot of New Yorkers, you know, that's our Mount Everest, and the top of it, what I could normally see above the tree line is gone. I mean, it's just clouds of white dust. It's horrifying, I have to say. It's chilling to look at, and in some ways, those of us across the river from Manhattan probably, you know, have this view the most clearly. It is just, I think, everyone's worst nightmare, and we are now living it out, sorting it out.
Jackie, thank you very much. Dr. Elliot Cohn joins me now. He is Director for Strategic Studies at Johns Hopkins. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
There is a report from the Reuters news agency, and I hope to find further information on this. Reuters quoting Abu Dhabi television as saying it had received a call from the Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine, claiming responsibility for the plane crashes into the World Trade Center building this morning. Do you know anything about this group?
Yeah, they've been around for quite some time, and they're one of the more extreme and dangerous Palestinian terrorist organizations. But I think, you know, it'll take quite a while, obviously, to sort this out and figure out exactly who did what. This is clearly several very sophisticated operations to coordinate all these things, assuming that the what occurred at the Pentagon is also part of this. It bespeaks quite a large effort. And I think one thing that's very important to remember is it's very hard for these organizations to do what they do unless they have some kind of shelter or support from states.
Okay. I'm now receiving information that a spokesman for this very group denies responsibility. Yeah. This is what happens when all of these multiple reports come in and you try to sort out fact from fiction and who said what about whom. And we're very sorry if, in fact, that's the case, that that group is not responsible. But now we have a report that it is, and another that it isn't, and ultimately we'll get it squared away, and I'm sorry for the confusion.
Yeah. Well, it's going to take a while to sort it out, but I think the here's what I think the key point is. What we're dealing with here is not crime. It's a hideous form of warfare, and I think the Pearl Harbor analogy is going to turn out to be roughly the right one. That is to say, in terms of the scale of loss of life, this will probably be a bigger deal, I'm afraid, than Pearl Harbor, certainly on the same scale. But the thing to remember is that this is not just the work of a couple of deranged people. This is the kind of thing that is done for political reasons, and it will require some kind of warlike response.
With two attacks in New York and one in Washington, one certainly gets the impression of a coordinated terrorist attack, obviously well thought out, well planned, and clearly well executed. Who could have pulled off something like this?
Well, there are quite a few groups out there that are would like to try this. One thing to remember is that a number of these organizations have various kinds of links with one another. So you may be dealing in some ways with a kind of coalition of groups. But again, I would also fall back on the issue of state sponsorship. These groups simply cannot function unless they have places that they can go where they will be sheltered by the institutions of a state. In the past, that's Syria and Iran have been two of the leading offenders, of course, Iraq as well. Without some kind of state protection, it's very, very hard for these organizations to flourish. So it's going to be a question of going both after the organizations, but also going really hard after the states. We've been rather unwilling in recent years to talk about countries as sponsors of state terrorism or facilitators, but that's what a number of them are, and we're going to need to turn the spotlight on them. Again, I'd stress there's a difference between crime and war, and this is war.
Indeed. Dr. Cohn, just think about what has just happened. I mean, the United States has practically been shut down here. All commercial flights canceled. The planes have been diverted to Canada. The stock market has stopped trading. The Pentagon, the Capitol, the West Wing of the White House, the State Department, and the Treasury all evacuated. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling rather vulnerable here. The country has been shut down, in effect.
Absolutely. But I think, you know, as awful as these events are, it's important not to lose our heads. This is the most powerful country in the world. What's going to happen as a result of this will be, I expect, a wave of fury on the part of the American people, which is entirely appropriate, and a focusing of all the enormous energy and resources this country has. And once that happens, there will eventually be results, as long as we're willing to treat this the way we should, like a war. And I'm sure people had exactly the same sense of vulnerability at the time of Pearl Harbor, and the people who launched that found out, to their later regret, that when you get the United States really, really mad, that you're going to find all kinds of resources mobilized against you, which will be absolutely overwhelming. And I'm quite confident that in the long run, however chaotic things seem, however horribly upsetting and distressing this is, the United States will be able to bounce back. This is a pretty tough country. We didn't get to be where we are without it. There will be a response.
You wonder how this could have been prevented. We have measures to guard against hijacking of airplanes, and that's what we had today, the hijacking of airplanes and the crashing them into public buildings.
Well, we haven't had nearly as active a program, I think, since the heyday of the particularly Palestinian hijackings in the 1970s. It was a real period where there was a lot of that. You had armed marshals on airplanes. We'll probably go back to that. But the point is this. I think if you really want to disrupt these organizations, you're going to have to do things we're not willing to do. And that means things like killing people. I would, by and large, the CIA now does not send people out to knock off members of organizations like this. We don't do that as a matter of policy. That may very well change. We will beat up on some states that harbor terrorists, Sudan and Afghanistan. We will not do violent things to others, like Syria and Iran. To a remarkable extent, the velvet gloves have been on in the war against terrorism. Given the history of the United States, I expect the gloves to come off.
Dr. Cohn, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Dr. Elliot Cohn, the Director for Strategic Studies at Johns Hopkins. NPR's David Wellner is on Capitol Hill. David, what's happening there?
Bob, the Capitol, as you said, was evacuated almost an hour ago. Speaker of the House Dennis Hastert ordered the Capitol and the surrounding office buildings to be evacuated. Of course, this is a precautionary move. There has been no attack on Capitol Hill. However, there are thousands of people who worked in these buildings who streamed out. Initially, they were just outside the Capitol. Police pushed them back one block, then two blocks, then three blocks. And just about 10 minutes ago, the order went out for everyone to go home. I just spoke with several members of Congress, House members. One of them said he had an intelligence report that there were two planes spotted in the sky that were considered potential aggressors. That is one of the reasons why members of Congress were told to get as far away as possible from the Capitol. I spoke with Congressman Ike Skelton, a Democrat from Missouri and a member of the Armed Services Committee, who said that just recently the director of the CIA warned that there could be an attack, an imminent attack on the United States of this nature. So this was not entirely unexpected. Several members of Congress have talked about the need to step up domestic defense in light of this. There's been a lot of talk about a national missile defense shield, and of course what's happened today would not be the kind of event that could be stopped by such a shield, and there's talk already of shifting money into beefing up the National Guard, taking other measures to heighten security domestically to prevent what seem to be further attacks of this nature.
Of course, they have taken precautions. They take precautions every day on Capitol Hill. It's been the scene of several shootings and a bombing.
Yes, indeed. And in fact, I think that the kind of precautions they take for everybody who enters the Capitol and the adjacent office buildings gave some reassurance to those who were inside to go in this morning. I had to take out my cell phone and put it through a metal detector, plus my shoulder bag, put it through. I had to walk through a metal detector. There are also dogs that sniff out explosives. These kinds of precautions have all been instituted in the wake of Capitol shootings. And so they are on high alert all the time at the Capitol. However, when I walked into the building this morning, the World Trade Center had already been hit by these planes. I asked Capitol Police if they had been put on any special alert. They said they didn't know of any order of such sort going out. However, within half an hour, the order had come out to evacuate the Capitol.
NPR's David Wellner at the Capitol. Martin Kosty joins me now. Martin, what do you have?
Well, Bob, information is coming in from around the country that local officials are looking for similarly prominent buildings and evacuating them, making them less of a target. For example, in Chicago, the Sears Tower has been evacuated. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange has been cleared of employees. The John Hancock Center is being evacuated after the mayor's office called management there and asked them to clear out the building. It looks like they're in Chicago, they're looking at likely targets, prominent buildings, and clearing them out. In L.A., in Los Angeles right now, the police department is on what they call tactical alert. They went on that state of readiness right after news of the incident the World Trade Center came through. There have been no threats so far, according to the Associated Press in Los Angeles, that the police know of. Officer Guillermo Campos of the Anti-Terrorist Division says they are on a citywide tactical alert in Los Angeles, and their Anti-Terrorist Division is mobilized. That means that officers from earlier shifts are held over to make sure they have extra officers on the ready. As has been reported already all morning, the air traffic has been halted. No planes are being allowed to take off. And also, some airports are now closing. That's the case in Atlanta, where no planes already early on had been allowed to leave. In downtown Atlanta, the CNN Center is closed, except for vital operations, probably. The Atlanta airport has been closed. FBI has sent agents to the scene, to the airport, but so far no specific threats have been received in Atlanta. In California, 29 Palms, the Marines say they have increased their state of readiness to what they call vigilance. So it looks like people are looking for obvious next targets, if there are any, and trying to make them less vulnerable.
Martin Kosty, thank you. Going to New York now, where Robert Mueller is at the White Horse Tavern in New York. Mr. Mueller?
Yes, sir.
What did you see today?
Lots of smoke, lots of debris, lots of people panicking, a lot of dust. It's very bad.
Where are you now in relation to the World Trade Center?
I am about a half a mile away.
And what is going on there as far as security and police?
All the police seem to be at the scene. The streets are pretty much to the people, but the people aren't panicking. There's no rioting, no looting. People are just, you know, very, very, very shocked at what's going on.
You had both towers of the World Trade Center collapse today.
Yes, they have. They're gone.
And that must have, you must have felt it.
Excuse me, I'm having trouble hearing you.
I'm sure you are. I'm sure you must have felt the impact of the...
Actually, no. Just, they just crumbled. There was no impact. There was lots of debris, though, that spread over for a mile. It was very, there's like an inch of dust on the ground for a mile away from the actual World Trade Center explosion. When the second plane impacted, though, we felt the explosion, and when the first also.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Bob.
Robert Mueller, okay. Eyewitness in New York City. To remind you, we're in special coverage now of events that have taken place in New York City and in Washington, D.C. today, beginning nearly 2 hours ago when an airplane struck one of the two towers of the World Trade Center in Manhattan. Moments later, a second plane struck the second tower of the World Trade Center. The tops of those two towers have now collapsed into the streets of Lower Manhattan. A bit later, there was a plane crash at the Pentagon. And other government buildings in Washington have been evacuated as a precaution. The Pentagon, the Capitol, the White House, the State Department, and the Treasury Building. President Bush is in flight. He was in Florida this morning. He is returning to Washington, D.C. The president has described today's actions as an apparent terrorist attack. And NPR's Martin Kosty is in the studio with me. Martin.
Bob, as I as we're monitoring news from around the country, the air traffic has been stopped. No commercial aviation is allowed to be taking off right now. Airports are closing around the country. In Chicago, prominent landmarks are being closed. L.A. police are in a special state of readiness. Extra police are being put on around the country in many major cities. The apparent terrorist attacks are causing disbelief, especially in the West, where people are waking up to this. People are watching these incidents with horror, and the reaction coming in from local officials is that of making sure that their prominent landmarks aren't similarly attacked.
There's so many things coming in from all over the place. Somerset County Airport, 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh. Is this a plane crash? I can't tell. I have the back end of a report. Secretary of State Colin Powell, who was visiting, he was in Peru this morning. He was to go to Colombia on his first official visit to South America, and he is returning to Washington following all of these reports. Martin, you have more?
Well, there's more information about the American Airlines plane that crashed into the Trade Center this morning. One of the two planes that crashed into the World Trade Center, I should say, was American Airlines Flight 11 from Boston to Los Angeles. A spokesperson for the airline says that the flight could carry up to 158 passengers. It's not clear yet how many passengers were on board. They're still trying to figure out what happened exactly there. It looks as though in places such as Texas, in Houston and Dallas, they're also police are being called onto special tactical alert or variants of that sort of special readiness. Airports are closing, even, you know, with air traffic has been stopped, and airports are also closing. People are being sent home in many cities. There's a quote here from the Birmingham International Airport in Alabama where spokeswoman Carol Windham says, like everyone, we're in shock and they're grounding their planes. Heightened security is in effect at government and corporate offices nationwide, from the Army's main germ warfare defense laboratory in Frederick, Maryland, to city offices in Colorado. In Denver, a spokesman says he doesn't think any place in America right now is not at risk or doesn't feel at risk. And emergency preparedness officials in Colorado are organizing themselves. In Philadelphia, dozens of people gathered in the hotel lounge to watch television coverage and started weeping. They could not believe what they said. What they saw.
The Federal Aviation Administration has grounded air traffic in the United States today because of reports that the planes that struck the World Trade Center towers in New York City were hijacked. Therefore, traffic has been diverted elsewhere. A lot of American air traffic was sent to Canada. But Air Force One is flying, bringing the president back to Washington from Florida, where he was this morning to promote his education policies. Earlier this morning, I spoke with two eyewitnesses who saw the World Trade Center blast in New York City. The first voice will be that of Stanley Mikus. The second voice will be that of Ginger Miles.
I was sitting in my my breakfast table when I heard this loud explosion. I ran downstairs and I saw smoke billowing out of the World Trade Center, and then just moments later another hit, and I live close to a mile away from the Trade Center, and you could feel the heat. You could feel the heat right where I was standing, at least a mile away. It was unbelievable.
I was on my way to work across the Brooklyn Bridge, and I was about a third of the way across heading to Manhattan when I saw a plane. And they're never on this approach on the East River, because I walk it every day. And it was coming in over the Manhattan Bridge towards Lower Manhattan, and it banked very slightly towards Brooklyn, which told me that there was something wrong. And I thought it was going to crash. And then all of a sudden, it swung over as if it was going towards Newark Airport, and hit the World Trade Center dead on.
Our building is a block east of the Trade Towers, and I did see the explosions. and I worried about whether or not we should evacuate, but we thought not to because the street was so bad, and some part of the structure collapsed, and it's not on fire, but our whole apartment and the whole building is full of smoke, and we can't get out the front door because there's so much smoke debris there. But we're told that it's not fire. The streets right now are completely empty. So we've wet a bunch of towels. We've just wet a bunch of towels. I've just put my cat in a carrier. Cars are covered with dust. My whole apartment is covered with dust. So it looks like, though, that I don't think fire is going to be our problem. So that's all.
That was Ginger Miles, who's trapped in an apartment building in New York City because of all the dust from the collapse of the World Trade Center towers just a block from her apartment building. Before that, you heard from another eyewitness this morning in New York, Stanley Mikas. And we're going back to New York now for another. Kathleen Zichy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And what can you tell us?
I can tell you that we've had a steady stream of patients at NYU Downtown Hospital since the first explosion occurred. The hospital is very well equipped to deal with the situation. Unfortunately, as we have mobilized the entire medical staff and the nursing staff, they are functioning very, very well. We were the first responder to the explosion at the Trade Center in 93, so unfortunately we have some prior experience with situations of this nature.
You're at New York University Hospital.
We are at NYU Downtown Hospital in Lower Manhattan, and we are the only hospital in downtown New York.
That just staggers the imagination. There are going to be so many casualties in your hospital today.
There are hundreds of people here presently. We have transformed the cafeteria in order to be able to triage the patients properly. They are being handled in a very orderly way, and the staff is doing a superlative job.
Ms. Zichy, thank you very much.
I'm grateful for your call. Thank you.